morning. Psalm 46:10. I'm sure you've probably heard it before. Let's read it together. Be still and know that I am God. I love this verse. Its simplicity. I wonder if in some sense this invitation that we read here summarizes the entire invitation of Scriptures. To still ourselves in the awareness of God's presence. It has the potential to be so reorienting in our lives. Be still and know that I am God. Where is this invitation good news in your life right now? Can you identify any place in your life where this invitation would, if heeded, bring freedom to you? Where are you confused? Frustrated? Overwhelmed? Under-resourced? Upset? Anxious, angry, or afraid? Is God present with you in that space? Or are you on your own? One of my favorite books is written by a guy named Richard Rohr. It's about prayer. Prayer is not something that comes easy to me. The book is titled, Everything Belongs. Listen to what he has to say talking about prayer. You can read along behind me as I share from here. Rohr says, my starting point is that we're already there. We cannot attain the presence of God. Why? Because we're already totally in the presence of God. Absent is awareness. God is maintaining us in existence with every breath we take. As we take another breath, it means that God is choosing us now. I'm waiting for you to take another breath. And now. And now. We have nothing to attain or even learn. We do, however, need to unlearn some things. Rohr is saying that God is present with us in all of our spaces. What is often absent is our awareness of God with us in those spaces. What keeps us from being aware of God's intimate presence and accessibility in our lives? For some, it might be just a lack of knowledge that this is who and how God is and operates. We think that maybe there's some kind of elaborate ritual that we've got to satisfy in order to get the attention of God. And so we just constantly put that off, thinking that we're not ready or we're not worthy or whatever. We just think that somehow God is not accessible. That is not true. So sometimes our knowledge needs to shift. At other times, distractions are what keep us from being aware of God's presence. We're so living in this moment where whatever is in front of us is what's occupying our total attention that we don't have the time or the ability to stop and to reorient the reality of God's presence and accessibility to us in the midst of our lives, or maybe it's fear. Nevertheless, in the midst of all of those realities comes the simple invitation from Psalm 46:10. Read with me one more time. Be still and know that I am God. Today we conclude our Easter Psalm series, a season for singing, with Psalm 27. Psalm 27 is a psalm of David, and it's a declaration of his desire for and dependence on God. I love Psalm 27. It's probably the psalm that I keep coming back to again and again and again for what it has to teach me about what it looks like to pursue God and to grow in my ability to trust in God. And so I'd like to turn to Psalm 27 with you and to begin to read from there. We're going to start with the first three verses. Read with me from the screen as I read from this Bible. Let's read together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. What's your default setting when you're fearful? Where do you go when you're afraid? Do you know what I'm asking? Where do you go? David says that place is your stronghold. The place you go when you are afraid is your stronghold. You go into that place, wherever or whatever it is, because there you feel safe, or at least have some measure of control. Can you identify in your life perhaps a stronghold? A place that you go for security in the midst of uncertainty? I struggle, honestly, quite often with anxiety. It's something that I just deal with. Just running constant scenarios in my head, getting on loops. We talked last week about tapes. I don't know if any of you identify with that struggle. So for me, the stronghold that I often deal with in the place of anxiety is distraction. When I start getting anxious, I just get really busy. I get really unfocused. I start grabbing at things, trying to distract myself from the anxiety that's going on. And oftentimes, I don't even know that that's what it is I'm doing. People around me know that that's what I'm doing. But when I'm anxious, I want to get out of that moment. I want to get out of that feeling. And so I start grabbing onto things that I think will become strengths for me or that will keep me from reckoning with or feeling the things that are making me feel anxious. And the more anxious I am, oftentimes the more trivial my pursuits become. Moving from thing to thing, unaware of where I am, who I am, and what I'm doing. Fear and anxiety and the places that we go to manage those things are often the strongholds in our lives. And if we're not careful, sometimes they can become addiction places in our lives. David says God is the stronghold of his life. When he faces his enemies, he stills himself. Can you imagine? He rests in the presence and in the knowledge of God. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." In Psalm 46:10, we read, "Be still and know that I am God." Psalm 46:11, "The Lord Almighty is with us." What's absent is what? Awareness. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our what? Fortress, our stronghold, our strong tower. Why do we run in the presence of our enemies? What do enemies do to us? How does the knowledge that someone or something is against you impact you? For me, I get filled with anxiety and tension. Like I said, I have loops that run in my brain. and strategies for trying to rescue myself, usually by worrying about something or obsessing over how I'm going to solve it. Can you identify? And I often then carry the stress of all that in my jaw and in my shoulders. And then take Advil, right? Can you instead, in the presence of your enemies, imagine stilling yourself, resting in the presence and knowledge of God, and saying with David in Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid?" Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." He says, "You prepare a table for me." Where? In the presence of my enemies. God is accessible even in the environments where we feel most at risk, most vulnerable, most afraid, most trying to find strategies to make our lives work. When that is our place, according to David, what's absent, and according to Rohr, is not God, but our awareness of God. That God is present and available for us. Maybe that truth is what gives David so much focus and clarity in the next three verses. Psalm 27, verses 4 to 6. Let's continue reading. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." You know, the classic fear response, do you know what the three F's? When we're afraid, what do? Fight, flight, freeze. Just totally natural. When we're under duress, our brain tells you, survive. Your brain gets flooded with chemicals, and we have one of three general responses. We gear up to go into battle. We fill it with adrenaline to sprint out of there. Or we freeze and get small and try to go under the radar, somehow hoping that we can avoid the conflict that's scaring us to death. I want to suggest that David gives us a fourth F as an option. He focuses, which is the exact opposite thing for me under stress. I lose focus. I lose clarity, which is why David says, "One thing I ask." He gets focused. "Only this do I seek, to remain in the house of the Lord, to stay with you when I'm afraid, God. That's all I'm asking for. Help me to stay with you, not to rely on myself, not to gear up for a battle, not to flee in fear, not to freeze in duress. When I am under stress, Lord, I want to be focused on you and on seeking you alone. I want to find myself in you," which is to say, your house. Have you noticed that theme for the last 3 weeks from Psalm 84 and Psalm 73 and now Psalm 27? This invitation to dwell in the house of the Lord. Look at just three passages from Psalm 84, Psalm 73. "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." Psalm 73, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge." Now today, I ask only one thing from you, Lord, that I may dwell in your house. I don't know what this invitation for us to dwell with the Lord is about. I'm paying attention to it. It wasn't like this was the theme I was looking for when these psalms were chosen. And I don't know what the opportunity is, but I think God wants us to know we can rest in his presence. We don't have to make our lives work on our terms. There's an invitation and a reality that's more deeply compelling than anything we can generate for ourselves. David says, in the day of trouble, I will. What do you do in the day of trouble? I remember in like 2000 or 2001, I was invited by a seminary classmate of mine, a man named Matanmi Zimek, to go to India. And we decided to go ahead and do that. We spent $2,000 to $3,000 on flights getting from Kansas City to Imphal, India. And the area into which we were going to be traveling was a contested area where there were rebels. And so you just couldn't use a passport and get there. You had to have a special permission visa. And that meant mailing my passport to San Francisco to the consulate there to have an approved visa. So 4 or 5 months ahead of time, I mailed my passport to the Indian consulate in San Francisco. And we bought the tickets and yada, yada, yada. And as the time's growing closer, I'm realizing I haven't seen my passport. I'm wondering where my passport is. On Saturday morning, I'm going to travel to India. And on Thursday, I still don't have my passport. And I am like freaking out. So I emailed some of the elders at our church and some of the people that were on staff then and my friend Father Adam, who's the Benedictine monk at Conception Abbey. And I said, you guys have got to pray for me. You've got to pray for this passport to show up. We have spent thousands of dollars on these tickets. I'm scheduled to speak all these times in India and I am freaking out. Would you please pray that God would bring me this passport? And so I got emails from Rebecca saying, yes, we're praying, we're praying, we're praying. And then I got this email from Father Adam. And he said, dearest Tim, comma, I will, of course, pray for the passport to arrive safely into your care, comma. But what I am praying more for is that regardless of what happens, your heart would remain at peace. And I read it, and it made me so mad. I did not want a heart at peace. I wanted a dang passport. But I took his point, right? By the way, the code of the story is that on Friday morning, I went to the post office that I was supposed to be delivering the mail, and I asked them, do you have my passport? And they said, no, we do not have your passport. And then I felt compelled to go back later that afternoon, and at 3 o'clock, I said, would you please go back there and search for your passport? And about 10 minutes later, the clerk came out a little sheepish and said, is this what you're looking for? And I said, yes. She goes, it had fallen off the back of the mail shelf and was sitting on the floor. I said, hey, thanks for checking. It was resolved, but I took Adam's point. It reminds me of what Jesus says in John 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that where in me you might have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Being connected to the Father, knowing Jesus is not a pass out of difficulty. But he's telling us those things, though, in the midst of our difficulty, in the presence of our enemies, we can be at peace. Because what? He has overcome the world. That is the source of our strength. And so what will David do in the day of trouble? Something that's bizarre unless you know God. I will sing and make music to the Lord. That's the response of a heart at rest. Worship, regardless of the circumstances. I'll place my trust in you, God. Turning to God. The next five verses, starting in verse 7. Read with me. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, malicious accusations. It's not that David doesn't have fear or adrenaline that he has to deal with, is it? It's that he's learned to do something with it in the midst of his fear. He's learned to somehow turn towards God in that place of vulnerability. Last week, the verse that really stood out to me that I wanted us to hold on to if we let everything else go was verses 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none on earth that I desire besides you. Though my flesh and my heart, you are the strength of my life and my portion forever. This week, it's verse 8. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. In other words, David is saying, my heart says, run to a stronghold. Lord, I'm identifying you as the stronghold that I'm going to run to. I will run to you. I love both the desire and the decision that that verse reflects. My heart says, seek your face. Your face, Lord, I, what word? Will seek. It's not just enough to have the desire. It has to be connected to the actionable item of moving our hearts towards God and reliance. Otherwise, our hearts will go to the closest thing at hand to get security. David confesses to God both his fears and his needs, and then he asks for help. What's he say? Teach me to walk in your ways. I cannot do this apart from you, God. My enemies are too present and too real. How do you do this? How are you being taught and trained to turn to the Lord in the midst of your fear? I think prayer is a major way that this happens in our lives, but I've confessed to you before, I'm terrible at praying. Like, I'm just not that good at stilling myself in the midst of anxiety and slowing my mind down enough to become present to God. And so two things have become very important for me as I seek to learn to turn to the Lord in the midst of all the situations in my life. One is friends who will challenge me and encourage me to do so. I have two guys that I meet with every Thursday afternoon with whom we share life and we listen for the voice of God in our lives so that we might help each other to become aware of the ways God's presence may be available to us where we ourselves might not have eyes to see. It's such an important part of my week to narrate my life in the presence of men who love me and who love God. It's made a huge impact on me. You know the other way? I still need to pray. I'm not delivered from prayer. So I've learned that if I can slow down and write a little bit, I can find out what God might be saying to me. That's my prayer life right there on paper. That's where I seek God. It's not romantic. It's not fit for publishing. It's about once or twice a week where I sit down and just pour my heart out to God. It's where I have learned to seek to follow the Lord in God's ways, where I listen for God's voice. Where is it for you? This is how I've learned to seek God, to be reminded that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Can you identify any place in your life this morning where God is inviting you, in light of this verse, to experience freedom from fear? What have you brought in here with you this morning? Where are you confused? Frustrated? Overwhelmed? Under-resourced? Tired? Upset? Anxious? Afraid? Is God with you in that space? Or are you on your own? Remember what Rohr says. We cannot attain the presence of God. We're already totally in the presence of God. What's absent is awareness. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. David ends Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, with an extraordinary declaration. Read with me the final two verses. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I sometimes think that we just try to hold on. But David is not just holding on. He is saying that somewhere in the midst of all this chaos in my life, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord. Not when I die, not in the next life, but now. God is available to me, if only by his presence in the land of the living. Therefore, wait on the Lord. Wait for his answer. Wait for his presence. If we're going to do that, by the way, we need to be strong and take heart and wait on the Lord. Let's say those things together. Wait on the Lord, be strong, take heart. Wait on the Lord, be strong, take heart. Where is the invitation for you this morning to be still and know that he is God? I want to conclude our time together, this part of our time together, with a prayer exercise for you to invite God into your life, that your awareness might grow, that God is there with you, that this might be good news for you this morning. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes if you're comfortable doing that. To get yourself physically comfortable and present. Just in the same way that Rohr said that with every breath, God is choosing us again and again and again. I'm going to invite you to take a couple moments to just breathe. To become present. Where is the invitation to be still and know that he is God, an invitation for good news in your life? Where are you confused, frightened, anxious? As you breathe, God is present with you. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe in, breathe out. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Just be. Our hearts say of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, we seek this morning. We bring to you our confusion, our anxiety, our strategies, and we open our hands and let them go. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Lord Jesus, you invite us into your home and invite us to make our home in you as you make your home in us. Lord, you take upon your body all of our fears, all of our anxiety, all of our broken ways of relating, and you carried that weight to the cross where you overcame the ultimate fear in our lives, death. And you brought new life out of places where we could have never imagined to see it. And so, Lord, we invite you to come into our lives, come into our struggles this morning, and to bring out of the struggles life that only you can generate, life that can only come from the presence of your Spirit. Lord, may we trust in the God who allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed, that we might know the power of your resurrection and the good news of what it means to be still and know that you are not just God, but you are our God. You invite us into that space with you, Lord, to take the broken elements of our lives and to find in them strength. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, we come in worship. In our day of trouble, we will sing and make music to you in our hearts, with our mouths, and we will bring to you our brokenness and exchange it for your life. Meet us at your table, we pray this morning, Lord. Amen. I invite you to wait on the Lord and to draw strength not from yourself, but from the grace that is made manifest in the body and blood of Jesus. Let's come to the table of Christ. I invite you to stand and receive our benediction. Where will you go in your day of trouble? The Lord invites you into his presence that you might sing and make music in your hearts. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Will you join hands with your neighbor and sing our benediction with us?